Welcome in, Eagles fans, to another edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast, available as always on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Lou DiBiase here in studio joining you, pumped to be talking more Eagles with you because we are only, it's a Saturday night I'm here podcasting for you, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. We only have 4 days until the Eagles hit the field to take on the Atlanta Falcons in the 2018 season opener. The offseason is officially over. We're done with the preseason. The Eagles got to their 53-man roster today. They are ready to make a run at another Super Bowl, trying to repeat after winning the Super Bowl in 2017. Once again, if you've been listening to the show since June when I started, I'm literally going to say they won the Super Bowl in 2017 at least one time a show, and myself and co-host Gino Camilleri have really made do on that promise, so I got to continue that going. But there was a lot of news today. We came in today. Gino's going to be back tomorrow as we get into our AFC predictions and our final NFL predictions. We're going to have on Randon Hall of the Injury Source to talk about Carson Wentz's injury, because that's part of why we're here today podcasting on the weekend, is talking about the news that Ian Rappaport reported that Carson Wentz will not be starting week one, that the Eagles are expected to name Nick Foles the starter. The Eagles have not officially made that to be true. Howie Roseman in his press conference today did not confirm that report, so it's still up in the air. Would it surprise me at all if Doug Peterson decided to pull a fast one on Ian Rappaport, who, by the way, Ian Rappaport and Doug Peterson, it's kind of seemed like they've been beefing. Rappaport's past three reports on the Eagles have not really been true, with the Vinnie Curry thing, although he left every avenue up for, you know, a possibility, and the Alshon Jeffrey PUP list report. Doug Peterson shot that one down too. Maybe Doug Peterson had, this is a huge reach, but maybe Doug Peterson had someone leak it to Ian Rappaport that Nick Foles is starting to throw off the Falcons, and then Carson Wentz ends up getting named the starter. Look, I know it's a bold prediction, it's a hot take, and it's a reach. I understand that, but this is why I'm getting paid the big bucks. This is why I got to look into it. It's still not over. I know, again, the report is that Nick Foles is going to be starting week one. It seems more and more. Rappaport's report, Peter King's opinions about it. Peter King talks with Doug Peterson a lot. He has the ins, I'm sure, on the Eagles. So, you know, him speculating that too, there's some weight to that as well. You know, but still, that I'm just throwing that out there. It's a bold take, but would it shock you if, you know, Doug Peterson, Mr. Aggressive himself, the new wave, the new thinker of the NFL, if he pulled a fast one, I would not be surprised. So coming up on the show today, we're going to talk about Nick Foles apparently being named the starter for week one against Atlanta Thursday. We're going to get into, as well, the Eagles getting down to the 53-man roster. Today was the last day for cuts. They had to get it into the league by 4 o'clock. There were some surprise cuts. There were some players that I would have liked still to be in Midnight Green that will not be with the team this year. And then there's been a lot of pretty much expected picks. There wasn't a lot of surprise with this because the Eagles are really just so set when it comes to this roster. It was just the tail end. It was filling out the bottom end of the roster. Who's going to be the fourth running back? Who could be that fourth or fifth safety? How many corners are they going to keep? Are they going to keep 10 offensive linemen? So we're going to get into that as well. But I want to start the show off today with a tribute to Brent Celek, who announced his retirement on Friday. And I think this kind of went under wraps. It didn't go under wraps Friday. A bunch of players congratulated him. Fans on Twitter really talked up Brent Celek. But because today there's been so much news, we didn't really get to enjoy it a whole lot. And if you want, check out tomorrow morning. I'm going to be posting a piece on Brent Celek and what he meant to me growing up as an Eagles fan. When he got into the league, really, his rookie year in 2007, I was a very young Eagles fan getting into it was only a couple seasons in with the Birds, growing with the team. And Brent Celek also came in, and he's really been that consistent force throughout my years as an Eagles fan. I'm only 21, so, you know, I wasn't very familiar with the early Brian Dawkins, Donovan McNabb era where they were making all those NFC championship games. Really, my era started when Jeff Garcia led them to the second round of the playoffs, that 2006 season, 2005-2006. That's really when I started getting really into football, when I was conscious enough to know what I was watching. And Brent Celek really was there for all of it. And I'm going to get more into it in the article, but I just wanted to start off in the first segment with saying thank you to Brent Celek, a guy that, you know, as eras passed the Eagles by, Celek was consistent. He was there through everything. And that's why, you know, we talk about how much Nelson Agholor deserved that ring last year, and Nick Foles and Doug Peterson and Howie Roseman. But Brent Celek watched the end of the greatest Eagles era of all time with Donovan McNabb, Brian Dawkins, and the Andy Reid era, you know, that main 2000s era. He was there with that NFC Championship run against the Cardinals in 2008. He witnessed heartbreak in just his second year. He was very close to getting there with that team's last shot, really, at winning the big one. Then, you know, he was with Andy Reid in his last hurrah, trying to quickly build up on the fly a reboot of a new Super Bowl contender with Michael Vick and the Dream Team era, and then that went downhill fast with the 4-12 year. But and I still remember that 4-12 year, Brent Celek, you know, the Eagles had lost, I think, 9 or 10 games straight, and it was against Carolina on a Thursday. It was against Cincinnati on a Thursday night. And Celek is still playing at 110%. He's catching screen passes. I remember he caught one pass for a first down, did his typical, you know, fist bump and first down signal, and just the heart he showed every game, even when in a season like that where there was so much expectations. Again, that was the Redeem Team year, the year after the Dream Team in 2012, 2013. He was the guy. He played in every game that year, and he just always played. He was so proud to be an Eagle, and that's why when they won the Super Bowl this year and I saw Brent Celek in all his emotion celebrating the win, I thought back to that year where it was the lowest point the Eagles have had probably since, I don't know, in the late 90s before Andy Reid, really. They hit rock bottom, and they weren't expected to. So that's why I just kept looking back to that, because then he went through the whole Chip Kelly era, right? He was with them when they made the playoffs in 2013, part of the new upstart, and then that flamed out really quick. The Chip Kelly pretty much threw out the whole roster, but you know who was always consistent was Brent Celek, and that's why I appreciate him. He was never my favorite player. He wasn't someone that really was overly exciting to watch, although he was a better pass catcher than people give him credit for, because in his later years he became a blocking tight end. The Eagles drafted Zach Ertz to take on that receiving tight end role, but before that, Celek was a really good receiving tight end for Donovan McNabb, for Michael Vick, you know, for Nick Foles. That was his role. He was a really good receiving back, and then he revolutionized his position. He advanced and became this really adapted, I guess is the best word to use, as I'm going through all these scientific words trying to find adapted. Brent Celek became this blocking tight end that was super reliable when guys like Halepuli Vaitai came in as a rookie and had to be thrown into the fire on the right side at right tackle, and Brent Selick's the one helping him out with that protection. It's just, he was never a player that was one of my favorite, but he was always there. It always made me feel good to know he was on the field. And he made big plays when you needed him to, even in his later years. That touchdown against the Rams that you heard at the beginning of the show, that was his last touchdown of his career, and it was in probably the biggest regular season game the Eagles have had this century, essentially. You know, it was extremely important. It got the Eagles the bye week, essentially. It put them ahead of the Rams in a spot where they stayed atop and as a 1-2 seed in the NFC, because if they lost that, they dropped to probably, I think, the third seed, and who knows if the Rams relinquished that. So especially with Carson Wentz going down in that game, he was always there, and it was fun. I'm a nostalgic Eagles fan, and I always liked seeing him catching passes from Carson Wentz, because I'm like, man, I remember when this guy was catching passes from Donovan McNabb and Kevin Cobb and Michael Vick, and now he's catching passes from the new face of the Eagles. It's just awesome, and congratulations to Brent Celek on an incredible year, not only an incredible year getting his ring, but an incredible career with the Philadelphia Eagles. I'm really glad that he didn't go to another team, and he's one of the old school Mr. Eagles. You know, Harold Carmichael, who he, funny enough, wore his jersey at the Super Bowl parade. Harold Carmichael hated being a Dallas Cowboy when he played with them just for the few months that I think he was with the team. And Brent Celek said he would have turned down $10 million to go play for the Dallas Cowboys. He would never become a Dallas Cowboy. And I love that. He had so much pride in being an Eagle. And that's something the Eagles finally have back, because they didn't have that during the Chip Kelly era, it didn't seem like, and the Dream Team year. Everyone, it just seemed like they were mercenaries. They were just coming in and just, you know, kind of being there to win a Super Bowl, but they weren't really, they weren't drafted by the team. They just didn't have a lot of pride in being with the Eagles. So congratulations to Brent Celek on an incredible career. Coming up next on the Locked On Eagles podcast, Ian Rappaport reports Nick Foles is expected to start week one, not Carson Wentz. That's big news for me. I think it's big news for a lot of fans and media members alike. We're going to get into that next on the Locked On Eagles podcast. All right, welcome back to the show, everybody. Ian Rappaport of NFL Network says Nick Foles is expected to start week one, not Carson Wentz. This is a move for the long-term future of the franchise. They want to be cautious with Wentz. He was close. He's done incredible in his rehab, but he is saying that Nick Foles is going to give it a go on Thursday against Atlanta, like he did in the divisional round at the Lincoln Financial Field. Again, as you heard me early on in the show say, it's not over yet, because if Doug Peterson pulled a fast one on Rappaport, that would not shock me in the slightest. But I do think this is evidently what is going to be the case. Nick Foles is probably going to be under center. And look, I'm a little disappointed. I had to watch Foles' highlights from last year to get me going again, to get me excited, to get the preseason look out of my mind. And it was really because I was in Wentz mode. Carson Wentz has looked amazing, really, since, what, OTAs and minicamps even. You'd see him working out. You'd see him running around, running sprints, moving around in that brace, and even up until the preseason against the Jets this week and against the Browns the week before, watching him in warmups before the games. That looked like a player that was ready to go under center week one, and I still think that he can play week one. I think he is ready. I'm not a doctor. You know, we're going to have Randon Hall again of the Injury Source on tomorrow to get more information about the medical side to this, because it is confusing. What's the difference between 1 week or 2 weeks when it comes to the ACL injury? That's to me, like, how, what's the benefit of, unless he's going to miss a month of this season, how much stronger does the ACL get in a week? That's my part, is I still am very disappointed that Carson Wentz isn't playing. So I had to go back, and I'm not going to lie, I was at work today and I pulled up some Nick Foles highlights just to get me back into it and be like, okay, yes, this guy was a Super Bowl MVP. We're not screwed. We have a chance against Atlanta, more than a chance. I'm still going to pick the Eagles to win this game. But I had to get myself back in Foles mode because I was so excited to see Carson Wentz finally hit the field. So, yeah, I am a little disappointed. Hopefully he's back against Tampa Bay in week two. That's an easier matchup for Wentz. It's not on the national spotlight. It's not in a game that's really, you know, it's a game, but it's also a huge portion of it is a celebration of the Super Bowl, which Carson Wentz was a huge part of. He deserves a ring almost as much as anybody on the team, but he wasn't on the field for it. I know he doesn't feel as big a part of it as he would if he was on the field. He even said he had to fight off those demons of the jealousy of Nick Foles and of the team, because he of course, he's a competitor. He's a human being. Of course he wanted to be out there and lead the team to a championship. So it's also going to be part of that. So I'm not, you know, devastated that Wentz isn't playing. I think there's some good to him, you know, getting stronger on the leg, but I was in Wentz mode. I really did think he was going to play. You've heard me and Gino over the past few shows really say, you know, in set in stone, he's playing week one. He's playing week one. We've heard that really from everybody, because people are watching the same videos and saying, that guy, there doesn't look like there's any limitations to him. And that's what I thought. And I'm pretty surprised that it looks like Foles is going to play week one. I'm not an expert on injuries, but again, I'm not sure what a few weeks does. We're going to get Randon Hall on the show tomorrow. He's going to tell us. But, you know, he says he doesn't want them to play Wentz all year. So that's a little tease into tomorrow's show. So get ready for that. That's an exciting one. I'm very excited to have him on the show. We can get that interview going. But, hey, if a chance of re-rupture lessens each week, then I'm all in for it, because the Eagles still ride and die with Carson Wentz. Even if they won a Super Bowl last year without him, when they eventually start losing some players, they're not going to be able to keep everybody. Nick Foles is going to leave next year. If Carson Wentz goes down again, are you having a all-time performance like Nick Foles had in the playoffs again? Is that something the Eagles can consistently rely on? No, it's not. It's still a quarterback league, and as strong as the Eagles roster is, you're only as strong as your quarterback. And we saw that with a team like, let's go back to the Oakland Raiders a couple years ago when Derek Carr went down. I know the Eagles have a much stronger roster than that, but if someone like Nate Sudfeld came in and stunk up the joint, it doesn't matter how good the defense is. Unless you win the game 10-7, you're probably not making a run. The roster, it's still, the Eagles are still all about Carson Wentz. He is still the future of the franchise. He is what's going to make this team a long-term contender. You see it with the Patriots. Yeah, they had that elite defense in the early 2000s. But you know what? The dynasty has really just been two people. It's been Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. Because they've been able to withstand all the roster overhaul of a 20-year span, because they had the quarterback job down, Pat, no matter what. And that's what we need with Carson Wentz. So, yes, if it makes the ACL stronger every single week and it lessens the chance that he could re-rupture that ACL, then I'm for it. But again, what does a few weeks do to Carson Wentz's health? Is it really that important? Or are they actually considering keeping him out for the first month of the year? There's no way, because he's so close right now that I think he should have played Thursday. I think he's ready to play Thursday. Again, I'm not a doctor, but just common sense, just an eye test, it looks like he's a player that isn't being restricted by an injury. I don't know, again, if contact is something that they're worried about, but it's okay to, I understand having a cautious approach here with such a prized, valuable asset to a franchise is having an elite potential franchise quarterback, which is what Carson Wentz is. Again, he broke the all-time touchdowns record in one season for the Eagles in year two. So I would play him, and I don't agree with the cautious approach if he is ready, or if he's very, very close to ready, because again, I don't know what a week or two does. But I understand the cautious approach because it's the quarterback position, because you've seen situations like the RG3 situation where they rushed him back for week one in 2013 and it cost the Redskins. Luckily, they found Kirk Cousins in the fourth round to keep the franchise afloat. But I don't blame the Eagles or fans at all for wanting to be cautious. I get that they're scared because this is a serious injury that Carson Wentz suffered. But I am very surprised that he's not playing because he looks ready. It is going to be cool, though, to the Nick Foles side of this. It's going to be cool to have Foles start in the game, celebrating last year's run. You know, this is, again, it's not only a game, but it's a celebration of last year. They're going to raise the banner. They're coming out with a statue. We speculated last show what the statue is going to be. I think it's going to be the Philly special, where Nick Foles is walking up to Doug Peterson asking if you want Philly, Philly. So they're going to do that, too. It's a celebration, and that's what I like about it, is it'd be a little anticlimactic having Nick Foles on the bench. And, hey, we can get his trade value up, too. This is a player that's value took a big hit in the preseason. I don't know if the Eagles would ever consider trading Nick Foles, because if they traded Foles in the summer, they wouldn't be able to be as cautious with Wentz. Would they be as comfortable? Would they play Wentz this Thursday if they traded Nick Foles to the Cleveland Browns and they had Nate Sudfeld? They might still do it, but they probably are more confident in doing what they're doing with Wentz right now because they have Nick Foles as an option. But say Carson, let's say Nick Foles plays this week and they beat the Falcons and he looks really good. That value goes back up because that's a really good defense on a national game in the regular season. And if Foles lights it up again, that value, the preseason pretty much is like, okay, we know now the preseason was just a fluke. So it'll help the trade value too. So there are perks to having Foles starting on Thursday. The Eagles now are going to be without Alshon Jeffrey, Carson Wentz, and Nigel Bradham. So this is the thing. I mean, we talk about the value. We talk about how it's good for Foles and the Eagles to celebrate the Super Bowl with having him playing. But now we got to get to the actual game, and we'll preview the game. We're going to have our crossover episode on Tuesday with Locked On Falcons. Monday we'll get a good first look at the game. But, you know, on the field, the Eagles are not going to have Carson Wentz, Alshon Jeffrey, or Nigel Bradham. I'm confident in Nick Foles. This is a player that's system-dependent. He needs Doug Peterson's structure around him. It's why he thrived last year. It's why he thrived with Chip Kelly in 2013. He's a rhythm quarterback. He's a player that's not going to be able to make a lot on his own when structure breaks down, like Carson Wentz does so well at. And there was none of that in the preseason. It was a vanilla offense. He didn't have Nelson Aguilar or Alshon Jeffrey in the preseason. And although he's not going to have Alshon, he's going to have Aguilar back. He's going to have Corey Clement. He's going to have Mike Wallace actually trying And by the way, Mike Wallace did not get cut. He did not get traded today. I know everyone was getting really scared about that because of his tweet, but Mike Wallace is still with the Eagles, so you can all take a breather. But this is why, you know, I'm not worried about Foles. And but because Doug Peterson's going to drop a game plan against Atlanta, and I think he's going to be better. But they're missing a lot here. If this is going to be a huge win if they can pull it out against Atlanta, it's a big test. I think the offense can put up points, but I'm not confident if they get in a shootout. If they get caught in a shootout, I don't know if that's going to be a recipe for a victory. I think the defense is going to have to carry them. I really do. Jordan Hicks is going to have a big game. If that front four has got to get to Matt Ryan. In the secondary, if they play as well as they did in the preseason, this team's going back to the Super Bowl. I am still confident in a win with Foles. It doesn't really change. I would be more confident with Carson Wentz, but a lot of people on Twitter, it seems like, are just, oh, this is a loss. Let's move on. Let's get on to that Tampa Bay game. Let's just get everybody healthy. Yes, I agree it's more important to get everybody healthy than to get this win against Atlanta, but, you know, confident-wise, I don't think they can out-duel Matt Ryan in that offense in a shootout, but if it's a dogfight, they can win this game. Nick Foles still has his three running backs. He's still got Zach Ertz and Dallas Goedert as his big tight ends. He's got Aguilar and Mike Wallace. That's not a bad 1-2 punch at wide receiver. If Matt Collins is healthy, that's a fine third option, and you still have the best offensive line in football that's going to be fully healthy. Jason Peters is going to be back, so no Big V struggling. And that's a huge part. If Nick Foles is kept clean, that's probably the biggest key on offense. You saw a muddy pocket from him in the preseason, and he was terrible. Last year, in a clean pocket, he won the Eagles a Super Bowl. So it's disappointing news for Carson Wentz. I'm not overly concerned because I think he'll be back in week two or week three. And I still think the Eagles have a great shot at this. And it helps long term. So, you know, there's a lot to unpack there in that segment, but it'll get his trade value up. It's cool for the celebration of the game. And Nick Foles is a player that won you a Super Bowl. He's not costing you your chances at winning this game still. Is it going to have to be defensive? Yeah, the defense is going to have to step up like they did in the divisional round. Because Foles doesn't have his number one wide receiver, Alshon Jeffery, because there is no Nigel Bradham, the defense is going to have to step up even more. But I'm still confident in a win here. I'm not as confident, but I'm still confident. Let's take a break. We'll get back to our third and final segment. Some takeaways from the Eagles getting down to the 53-man roster today by 4 o'clock. They did it. And some surprise cuts we'll talk about on offense and defense and some other takeaways. This is Locked On Eagles on the Locked On Podcast Network. All right, welcome back, everybody. Let's finish up the show with our 53-man roster takeaways. We start on the offensive side. There wasn't a lot of surprising moves for me outside of Wendell Smallwood beating out Josh Adams. I think this is going to be a mistake. I hope that the Eagles can manage to get Josh Adams on the practice squad. I don't think it's going to happen, especially not with the news today that 49ers running back Jerick McKinnon tore his ACL. Maybe they would consider bringing in Josh Adams. I think they actually were looking at him before. Mike Garofalo from NFL Network even reported before the game against the Jets that other teams were looking at Josh Adams. And rightfully so. He's a big dude that when he's limited. He's not the most explosive player. He doesn't have the best feet. But when he makes the one cut, gets through a hole, and gets downhill, he's like LeGarrette Blount, where he's very hard to bring down. You saw that against Cleveland. And he made some nice plays on special teams, and he has a niche in this Eagles running back room that Wendell Smallwood can't provide, and that's really that blunt, that big body that only Jay Ajayi really possesses, where it's going to be very difficult to bring them down. Corey Clement plays hard. He's hard to tackle, but he's a smaller running back. So, and Darren Sproles isn't going to have that role at all. I don't even know how many carries Darren Sproles gets this year. He might mostly just be a punt returner and a receiver until the playoffs. They're going to save Sproles as much as possible to get him healthy for the postseason. But I was surprised. Smallwood was healthy, and that's the biggest part. No one else was consistently healthy. Josh Adams kept going in and out of the lineup throughout the summer and in the preseason. And Smallwood had a big game against Cleveland with the first team, and that's a lot. He's familiar with the offense. So am I surprised? No. But he doesn't have the upside that Josh Adams possesses. And for the fourth running back, if you get down to that point, I want the upside in a Josh Adams. I just don't see how Smallwood ever hits the field with the other three running backs, where Josh Adams, I could see it happening. If it's a short yardage situation and Jay Ajayi's hurt and you run Corey Clement a lot in a game, Josh Adams is a player that I'm very confident in those types of situations, even though we haven't seen a lot of him and he's an undrafted rookie. Whereas Wendell Smallwood, I don't see him ever cracking the starting lineup. It just, I get it. He earned his roster spot, but I didn't want to lose a young asset like Josh Adams. So I think it was a mistake, but they really like Wendell Smallwood, and I'll give it to him. He was healthy, and he stepped up in the biggest stage of the preseason, which is the Week 3 tune-up game. Other offensive takeaways, DeAndre Carter, props to him for making it as the sixth wide receiver. I didn't know if they were going to take everything he did in the preseason as seriously as others were on Twitter, some Eagles fans, because I was kind of thinking of the Paul Turner effect. That was in the back of my head. But hey, Howie Roseman said, eventually you got to go with what you see. And Carter had some explosive plays. He was able to get open in so many different venues of the offense and in the screen game. His route running was explosive. It was smooth. In the return game, he was really good. He's a small wide receiver, but they have some speed at wide receiver, and Carter sticks with that mold because you got Mike Wallace, Nelson Aguilar, Shelton Gibson, and DeAndre Carter. You got some burners to go with your big bodies like Alshon, Ertz, and Goddard. So I'm happy that Carter made the roster. I had Marcus Wheaton penciled in that spot, but I'm not surprised in the slightest. And then for the offensive line, they kept 10 offensive linemen. They did not trade Chance Warmack quite yet. I still expect them to shop him around. But Jordan Mailata is the real story up front at the offensive line. I'm very happy. I'm very confident in the depth up front now. And I really wasn't. I really haven't been for years now. But Mailata and Matt Pryor and Seumalo had a better preseason than people give him credit for. And heck, even Warmack, although he's making too much money for his role with the Eagles, he played pretty well in the preseason too. He was serviceable, and that's we'll take that as a second or third option when it comes to our backup offensive lineman. But Mailata is the story. He's been the story of the preseason, and he went from a guy that people thought, okay, he's a project. We'll see if maybe he can make the roster eventually, could be a backup. He's got a lot of talent. It's a long shot, but if he becomes something, it's worth it because of all the athletic gifts he has. It went from that to, oh my gosh, do the Eagles have the next Jason Peters? The hype should probably be somewhere in the middle of the two statements I just gave you, but that's what Mailata, that's the treatment he's getting right now from guys like Ross Tucker and Mike Mayock and Peter Schreger, guys that know the game of football and are very in touch with the league. They are obsessed with Jordan Mailata, and I totally get it. This is a player like Jason Peters that can get up to the second level. The burst in his first step getting out of his stance on the line is just powerful and fast. And he might be the reason, like I told Gino in last show, that the Eagles don't take an offensive lineman as high as people think in the draft next year or, you know, in the next couple years, depending on when Jason Peters goes. Mailata, it's crazy, though. It's like we're talking about all his upside, but let's just take a minute to think. This dude just made a 53-man roster of the NFL. He never played a snap of football before he joined the Eagles. I mean, how crazy is that? You go from never playing the sport to potentially being the face of the future at the Eagles' offensive line. I mean, that's probably an overstatement, but to being a potential key piece of the best offensive line in football down the road, that's a possibility for you, what some people think is a very likely possibility. Going from not playing football to that, let's just take a minute and admire that and appreciate that from Jordan Mailata. It's incredible. On the defensive side, there wasn't a whole lot I was surprised about. The Eagles made a trade today, a conditional seventh-round pick to the Bears for the lengthy safety DeAndre Hall, who was a draft pick in 2016. And that doesn't look like good news for Trey Sullivan. I was disappointed that Jeremy Reeves got cut. I picked him to make the 53-man roster, as did Gino. They liked Trey Sullivan better, but Trey Sullivan didn't have a great summer, really. He had a lot of hype around him, and I don't think he stepped up in the preseason. I think he struggled in coverage. I don't think he was the strongest tackler that he was, not this preseason, but the one before. So the Eagles bring in DeAndre Hall. He's suspended for the first week. I think Trey Sullivan is only on this roster for 1 week, and that'll be the first week against Atlanta coming up. But for Reeves, hopefully he can stick on the practice squad because he is a big hitter. And he there were flashes in coverage. Hopefully there's more times that he tries to make a play on the ball instead of just trying to kill somebody, especially in the new wave NFL. But I really hope that Reeves sticks on the roster this weekend on the practice squad so they can try to continue to develop him, because I think he does have a role. And the Eagles should be trying to keep as many young safeties as possible, because the future there is, you know, Malcolm Jenkins and Ronnie McLeod are still in their prime, but how many more years are they going to keep those two guys on the expensive contracts, especially more so McLeod than Jenkins? But they did bring in DeAndre Hall in a trade today. Howie was, you know, he was pretty blunt in a lot of what he was talking about today. And when he was talking about Stephen Means, he was genuine, saying, you know, this was a close one. It came down to if Means was really their sixth defensive end. But Stephen Means earned a roster spot. And he's a very valuable fifth or sixth defensive end. I understand why Josh Sweat made the roster. I agree with the move. Sweat has a lot of upside. He looks like a twin of Jadeveon Clowney, just physique-wise. He didn't look like that in the preseason whatsoever. I thought he was pretty disappointing in the summer. I mean, there were times where he would have a big play. He would run through a tackle and make a nice play against the run. But there was also times, the majority of the time, in past situations where he didn't know what to do with his hands a lot. He didn't have a second move, and he struggled to get to the quarterback. That was the consistent theme throughout the preseason. And they're going to continue to mold him, and I'm fine with that. And I think Josh Sweat is going to be a real key part of this defensive end rotation down the road, because I believe in the Eagles and their development of young players on both sides of the ball. But Stephen Means this year could contribute. And if an older defensive end like a Michael Bennett or a Chris Long gets injured, Stephen Means is the guy I want playing over Josh Sweat. He didn't make the roster. Maybe it's Howie letting him tag along with a team that'll play him. Howie's been kind of doing – this has been the summer of Howie doing the right thing by the players because they won the Super Bowl. But, man, he was a leader. He coached up a lot of the young offensive linemen this summer, including Maialata. He helped Lane Johnson in practice. Johnson even gave him credit, saying he hated practicing against him. But he was one of the reasons that he became one of the best tackles in football. I really hope he finds success. I'm from Buffalo. Stephen Means went to the university at Buffalo, and he's been consistently a great pass rusher for the Eagles in the preseason. And then when he's gotten reps in the regular season, you know, week 17, especially against Dallas this past year, I hope he tags along with the team, and I really hope he finds a role on a defense, because he is technically sound, he is powerful, and he's experienced. I think Means is going to make a defense very happy, so I'm disappointed in not keeping him. I would have rather had him maybe than a fourth tight end in Josh Perkins. I know it's hard because Richard Rodgers is injured, but I would have rather traded Chance Warback away and kept Means, or kept one less receiver, because I think having that fifth defensive end in case of an injury, the Eagles love to rotate four defensive ends, and I think having Means on their roster would have been valuable. And it was the sixth linebacker. Leroy Reynolds is on the team for this week with Nigel Bradham suspended. So that's one more spot taken up by a guy, though, that probably isn't going to be with the team after week one. And if he is, I think that's a big mistake. Means there's no way he's gonna be a free agent after 1 week. So he's not coming back to the Eagles, unfortunately. But congrats to Means on another great preseason. And I'm really rooting for him. I really hope that he ends up making the roster of another team and ends up playing on defense, because he deserves it. All right, ladies and gentlemen, Eagles fans all across the country and across the globe, because I know my loyal listeners over in Europe and Great Britain and Australia. I've seen downloads from New Zealand. You guys are listening everywhere, and I appreciate that like crazy. You don't know how cool it is for me to talk birds on this platform and have people all across the world listen to my opinions on the Eagles, because I think my girlfriend and my friends that are not Eagles fans are getting pretty tired of me talking Eagles, or just myself, me talking to myself. So thank you all for putting up with my Eagles takes throughout the summer, and we officially tomorrow start game week. We get into our game day coverage of the Eagles versus Falcons. We're going to get Monday into the first initial takeaways of what we think we're going to expect in the game. Then on Tuesday, we have our crossover edition of the show, and then we continue throughout the week. Johnny Page will give his Locked in the Film Room every week, so that show will debut before the game on Thursday. And then Geno's bringing a sports betting show as well to the network. We got a lot of exciting stuff coming out. And of course, our written stuff on LockedOnEagles.com. So that's going to do it for today's edition of the show. Please follow me on Twitter at DiBiaseLOE for more Eagles takes all day, every day. Please subscribe to the show. 5 stars. If you liked it, please leave us reviews. I love the feedback from you, the listeners. And hit me up if you have anything you want to hear talked about on the show. But that's going to do it for today. We'll see you tomorrow. Thank you, loyal listeners. Go Birds!